Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hi, friends, and welcome to the No BS Guide to Life with me, Bangs in the Bun in London.
And me, Lamara LP, all the way from New York City.
Hey, hello.
Hello. Hi.
How's everybody? How good, great, wonderful. Let's start this thing. What are you calling bullshit on?
Let me tell you, that intro gets shorter and shorter, but for this week particularly, as Bangs was saying before, we got a lot of fuckeries to get through, people. So, no long ting. Let's do it now.
Yeah.
What do you want to start with in true fashion with us? Bullshit or good shit?
Let's go with the bullshit. Let's just do bullshit first. Who wants to go first? You, me?
You. Because it's kind of like a joint bullshit and I have one myself, but...
Okay.
Go in, bang.
All right. Jesus. So I don't even think there's enough bullshit in the world for Brock Turner... his rapist ass. So, if you've been living under a rock for the past...
For the past while,
there's some kid in America who goes to Stanford or one of those fancy universities, and he raped a chick behind a dumpster at a frat party, and his victim read an incredible witness statement at his trial that just threw all the fire and then some more fire, and then even more fire on top of him. And the judge decided to give him 6 months for ruining this chick's life. And so I call bullshit on that. I call bullshit on Brock Turner himself for not even recognizing, not understanding at all that what he did was rape and blaming it on party culture, drinking culture, whatever. I call bullshit on that. Call bullshit on his dad for addressing the whole incident as quote-unquote 20 minutes of action. I call bullshit on the media who continually refer to this asshole as a very talented swimmer.
Right.
Listen, that asshole can front crawl his way straight into hell, as far as I'm concerned. So it's a good thing that he's a good swimmer. Well done. Congratulations. I hope those times serve you well while you crawl into the fiery pits of hell. Just what a low this whole thing is, for our culture in general. This time in life, what a freaking low that this happened.
This is the judgment. This is the outcome. This is how it's reported in the media. This is all of those terrible things which make and where I honestly, with a lot of things to do with America specifically, I live in New York, but to do with a lot of things that comes with the law, where the fuck is justice? I don't know what place it holds in society anymore for matters to do with race, for matters to do with gender, for matters to do with sexuality. Like, what the hell is going on? I read that 12-page document. There's something about, like, the narrative of this and how it was reported in the media and everything being done to demean this woman as deserving of her treatment through the law and through this dickhead. Do you know what I mean? So for her to write that, I took time out to read it, as painful, as graphic as it was, and just in bearing her soul of like, shit, do you know at the end of the day, like, I'm a real person, this happened to me, I have no recollection of this. And she said, I had to listen on the news and read in the media how this sexual assault and then ending with his swimming time. Nice to know he's got like a GPA average or he can do 100-meter backstroke. But you know, I was found behind the dumpster with, you know, all my modesty showing. And like, you know, she was talking about the vines or the thorns in her body. And I was just like, Jesus, Mary and Joseph, what is going on? for that to be your testimony, for evidence to be used in that case, and then for you, you scum, to walk away with 6 months. And what's really interesting this as well for me, and that's why I bring justice into it, is the disparity in justice, right? Because what a time to have white privilege and be alive. Listen. Yes, I said it.
Listen.
What a time to have white privilege and be alive. Because if you've been watching that case and reading the news reports and then seeing the other side of African-American men, dare I say, is it the, God, history's not going to serve me well, but the 5 men who were tried with raping in Central Park many, many years ago.
Yeah, you got to watch that documentary if you haven't.
That's another Keith Burns doc, right? Yeah. And just the racial disparity in this, that if it was a person of colour or a person of African-American descent, then that wouldn't be 6 months, fam.
No.
That wouldn't be 6 months. So the immunity he gets with this, the pure fuckeries that he gets with this annoys the shit out of me. And I just, I can't. That's a low blow for the society we're in.
I just can't take it. And just as it made for such hard reading, her statement in and of itself, which is to say nothing of the fact that she actually lived that. So we can't even complain about the fact that it was hard to read. Everybody should read that. Shout out to Joe Biden for reading it and addressing the girl herself. It just gets harder and harder as a woman to continually have to see these injustices happen and see people dismiss it, and see Brock Turner's own father, for him to say it was 20 minutes of action. I also would really like to know where this kid's mother is. We have not heard from her. Mm-hmm. And is she defending her son? Is she defending his actions? When nobody's debating whether or not he did it. He was caught red-handed.
Exactly. There's
no debate around this. We know he did it. But for his friends to be giving statements to the judge about how, oh, he's a really good time and also swimming and he's a really good guy. And this is just like, I think one of his friends said he's serving 6 months for something that happens at parties all the time. Oh, does it? Well, let's address that then, bruv. That's the exact freaking point, you dickhead. Let's address that then. The fact that you feel it's nothing to go ahead and do this to women all the time. We are not here for your amusement. Do you know what I'm saying? Like our bodies are just here to be fucking used and abused by you whenever someone happens to get a little bit tipsy at a frat party. Fuck you. Fuck you and all your friends. I'm sorry, but it really fucks me off. So that's my bullshit for the week. Let me just calm down and hand it over to you.
I mean, don't calm down too much, because
I'm about to get angry again.
You're about to, in similar vein, like, co-sign all of what you said. My bullshit is, we are not here for your amusement as women. We are not your things. We are not objects. And therefore, we do never need to be addressed with a hiss, with a, ayo, fuck you then, with a, hey, why aren't you smiling, with a, come here, give me your number. I'm calling bullshit on catcalling and sexual harassment. People, regardless of the month or the season we are in, except summertime, it's freaking rife for that shit, right? I posted on my Facebook yesterday, like, a New York summer haiku, which is, Ayo Ma, why aren't you smiling? Well, fuck you then, bitch. Catcalling is out. Now, it's time. It started. Like, I was meeting a friend yesterday. I was just waiting by the subway, and these two girls walked past. And this guy, what the fuck he was doing, like, delivering water to the bodega, I don't give a shit, hissed at this girl. Incessantly, repeatedly hissed. I've been somewhere else and I've seen someone like, why aren't you smiling? What do you mean the fuck am I smiling for your amusement? And just the leering and the jeering, that has to stop. You should be able, right, to walk down the street and know, like, the little safety you have in wearing what outfit you want to wear to look fly and loving your goddamn self, to be able to get from A to B without being interrupted. But, and all of that catcalling and all of that predatory, overly, like, sexual, leering, jeering, disgusting, repulsive behavior from men stops you from doing that. And I hate that. Like, And I think for me, like, happened to me when I was younger. It used to happen to me when I was younger a lot. And I went, I think very, very early on this year, I heard Ashley Ford, who's a great, phenomenal writer. I heard her speak at an event and she spoke about kind of coming into her body as a teenager and how your body develops as a woman, and her clothes weren't fitting her because this was growing and that was growing, and how comments from either like people close to her or insidious men on streets, like observing the way her body was changing, that's wrong. Like, I should have a right to my own body, and me and someone else or like whoever appreciate it. It's not public property in that way.
We don't need a fucking running commentary on it. Like,
I don't need a running commentary. I don't need you to applaud. I don't need a wolf whistle. And I remember younger just being really uncomfortable with that shit. And it's interesting because a girl at work, it happened to her. We walked past a builder's yard every morning to get to work. She was like, I'm sick and tired of men doing this. And I was like, you should not shout back. She's like, nah, it's not worth it. Shout the fuck back. Shout the fuck back. Like, what are you doing? Do you have a daughter? Do you have a mother? What if I was your sister and someone was doing that to you? And I know it's not easy to find those words, like, but even the smallest action of crossing the street, like, I hate to think she has to change her route because she doesn't want to deal with that shit anymore. But men listening to this, like, that is intimidation, fam. Like,
I don't think men will ever get it. I don't think they will ever understand. And this is an example of male privilege, I guess. Just that they, bottom line, men think that we belong to them, that we are here, our bodies are for, you know, we are their playthings. So how very dare we not acknowledge them when we walk past? You know what I'm saying? Like, that's where that comes from. Like, if they're saying, oh, you know, trying to get your attention and you walk past, well, fuck you then. That's where that comes from. Like, how very dare you ignore me when I am bestowing my greatness as a man unto you? Like, I didn't ask for it though, bruv. Like, I didn't ask for it. I don't care.
Help them.
I don't care. I'm just trying to go about my daily life. When you're talking about people changing routes, I have done that. I have had to do that before. Like, if there's a building site or whatever on my street, I've changed routes because I can't take it. Like, and also, what's the end game in that? I've always wanted to ask these dudes.
You said this before.
What is the end game? I don't understand. Okay, so you're saying, hey, sexy, like, wagwan, wagwan. Okay, cool. So if should I stop? And hey, do you know what I was just thinking? I really today came out of my house thinking I would just love to fuck a guy in the back of his white van today. That is not my life, and I'm pretty sure it's not any other woman's life who's getting this harassment from random dudes calling out of their vans and builders and whatever. Like, let's play that string out then. Okay, cool. So you holler at me, and if I stop and try and engage with you, what happens then? What's the end game? You honest to God think that you're going to be able to say, what's up, sexy, to me, and I'm going to sleep with you right here, right now? Right. Fuck all the way off, please. Like, I just don't understand the logic of it. And you're not entitled to our attention. You are not entitled to our smiles. Like, none of what you're saying makes us feel good. It's not a fucking confidence boost. It's a threat to our security. And no, that's not making it a big deal. There are women who have been shot and killed for not giving men their numbers.
Yes.
There's news stories coming out all the freaking time.
Rejection shootings, yes.
You are not entitled to it. Just like Brock Turner was not entitled to that girl's body at the party. You're not entitled to it. So all of these little, hey, what's up, sexy? All these little things that we have to constantly hear buzzing around our heads and around our bodies every day just makes us feel less secure in these bodies that we have to navigate through life with. Just please just leave us alone. Or if you really genuinely want to engage with a woman, how about engaging your brain first and approaching someone respectfully and politely? Like, what the hell is wrong with you? Screaming and yelling at someone in the street, it's just, first and foremost, it's rude. Like, have some manners. It's not a joke thing. I've heard men say before, I wouldn't mind if a girl was doing that to me. Yeah, actually, yeah, you would.
Yeah, you would. Why are you lying? Why are you lying?
If it was your whole life.
Why are you lying? Oh, my God. Why are you lying? Because when we come for your body, because I'm objectifying you. And if we were to do that to you, the reverse of this is this holds no weight whatsoever. So what, to me, you're literally a piece of meat. To me, you're pecs and balls or tits and ass, like however you want to describe it. No, you're not. That is not the full sum of my parts at all. at all. It's not fair game in that respect. You can do it to us. No, we can't. There's an inequality in here, talking about that, of you're coming from a position of power. You know your masculinity means more than my femininity. You know there's a strength here that if it was to ever get to a point where it gets more physical and more intimidating, who is winning out of that? And winning is the wrong word, to be quite honest. But who's overpowering who in that moment? So don't tell me you can catcall me.
Yeah.
Fuck off. Anyway.
Wow, okay. Let's take it to a happy place. Wow, we just kicked off with a whole lot of anger. But Jesus, society is just on some bullshit at the moment. Let's be real.
When is Mars available to live on?
Well, I mean, I'm not going to go there. Because I just, you know, I like Earth.
Necker Island, anyone? Necker Island?
Somewhere uninhabited on Earth would do me fine. But I'm not about to George Clooney myself up into space. I'm not, no.
Just give me my 40 acres and a mule and let me be done, bruv. Anyway. Good shit.
Yay!
Good shit, guys, you know?
You got to balance it out.
Thanks.
The yin and the yang.
Get it with the shoulder. I see you. Oh, shit.
Good shit this week is there's a video doing the rounds online of Pharrell hearing a music student's track for the first time. And it's just really a very heartwarming, lovely thing to watch.
Oh, tell me more.
So I guess Pharrell was involved in some kind of music school's tutor program or something, I'm guessing, for context. It's like a 9-minute clip that I've watched. I don't know what was happening before and after.
But he's there in the room with his music students.
In the room, exactly. Right. So these music students each play a track, and I guess he was giving them feedback on said tracks. So this girl gets up and her tutor was superly hyped about her already. He was really excited about presenting what she'd done to Pharrell. And she got up and she's just some kind of really cute, unassuming, kind of hippie-esque type chick. I believe her name is Maggie Rogers. And she gave a bit of her backstory that she's really into kind of folk music. And then she took some time off and went to France and had a really spiritual moment listening to dance music. And it was deep. Her whole thing was like deep. And then they hit play on her track, and Pharrell's reaction to it just as the track progresses is just really beautiful to watch. It's like, I think I'm basically calling good shit on the power of music and how it connects people. Cause you know, maybe this chick, obviously it was like a very unique set of circumstances that would have led to her meeting Pharrell in this particular instance, right? But how lucky and how lovely that she got to have that moment with him who can potentially do something with her music. But it was just a really pure, lovely moment to watch this music make someone's soul really happy. You know what I mean? And also, shout out to the chick who made the track, Maggie Rogers, because she is just, she's listening to it and just jamming, like, as it's playing. She's totally in her own zone and just loving it. And I love seeing people who love what they do and are really feeling it. And, I mean, the track is amazing. If it's not on iTunes by now, it freaking should be. She needs to capitalize on that moment because it is an amazing track. But I'm calling good shit on just the power of music and what it can do to connect people and, I don't know, make you feel the feelings, you know? That's good shit.
I just want to weigh in with, to quote, you know that Canadian philosopher that I talk about a few times?
Is it Aubrey Drake Graham?
Aubrey Drake Graham, the second, has a brilliant surmising of this in one of his great poems called Over. And he takes on the stance of two other native philosophers by the philosophical name of Dead Prez. I'm killing it, bro. I'm joking. Basically, like, the lyric is like, one thing about music, when it hits, you feel no pain. And I think that's a beautiful thing for you to call good shit on, because music is so powerful. Music over food any day. Because when you're down, when you're up, when you're in your feelings, when you want to be left alone, when you're with someone, like, music is always consistently been there for you, like
just soundtracking your life.
So magical. It's so magical. Sometimes I find myself listening to certain tracks and like or going to shout out the squad and all the selection parties we went to in London, and just being in a space where there's good energy and great music and just being like, Jesus, what a feeling, you know?
Yeah.
You kind of want to bottle that up and preserve it. So that's a brilliant, amazing thing to call good shit on, Bangs.
Yay. What are you calling good shit on?
I mean, it's not as magical as that, but like without, I'm calling good shit on to-do lists, yeah? And the power and gratification I feel in crossing off my to-do list, because it's literally how I get through my day-to-day. Like, my day-to-day, with a piece of paper or the notes in my phone or the scribbles on the back of, like, the toilet paper, I don't care. To-do lists are magical, magical things. Like, to-do lists, in terms of, we talk about, like, goals and aspirations you want to have or whatever, but, like, the immediate things, like, what do I want to accomplish today or what do I need to do by the weekend? And I write it down, and I always write it down, and I cross them off, like, I think they're great for holding me to task for the things I want to do and not letting me forget, not saying I'm perfect and I do forget, but to-do lists are cool. To-do lists are really, 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 really cool, because then you get to like maybe a Sunday and I've seen, like, I had 7 things at the beginning of this week and I got 3 left. By the end of the day, hopefully those 3 will be gone and then I can move into my week and not feel like I procrastinated on things I had to do.
It's so gratifying to be able to just cross something off, yeah.
So, yeah, that's me. Mm-hmm. Make one, people.
Let me ask you this, though. Do you do manual to-do lists, or have you invested in apps and such like that kind of help you curate?
No, manual.
I'm talking about pen and paper, baby, all the way. All the way.
So in my notebook, if you look at my notebook, you'd say there's like, Lamar, you got like 10 to-do lists here. It's only because I never cross it off until it's done. It goes onto a new to-do list as well.
Oh, there's
layers.
And
then I'll go back and cross it off the old one and the new one.
Okay.
And like, it's my method to madness, right? And if there was something like this week, I had to send 3 cards. It wasn't on my to-do list. It was a thought I had to do for time. I added it and crossed it off. Accomplished. And then in my notes, there's like some other random things, but everyone's notes is like the inner workings of their brain. But yeah, it's very manual. I used to use like the Apple reminders. That was dead, fam. Ain't no one got time for that. So yeah.
Pen and paper. But I'm pleased to hear that there's like levels to your shit. You sound like you got like a fairly comprehensive system going on there. I appreciate it.
China. Yeah. My to-do list is akin to the Kevin Hart check-ins and savings joke, fam.
See the way my to-do list is.
I got an old list and I got a new list and I got a balanced to-do list. Anyway. All right, bruv.
Yes.
This week, I think we've just been like, every conversation we've had of late, and especially off the bullshit we called today, there's something around, I'm going to go from here because you said a really, really poignant line about the way we feel less secure in our bodies, and this is the thing that we have to use to navigate life in. So I think this week, it's all about women's bodies and body positivity and the strength we have in them and how we navigate that with our day-to-day and personally, because, you know, it's something we've been saying, like, I always mention this word, agency, you know, if you probably listen back to all the podcasts, because I think it's really, really, really important in understanding there's a strength to femininity that not that a lot of women are aware of, but that we're not taught to embrace. We're not taught to embrace our agency or activeness. In the same vein, we're not taught really to love our bodies, to nourish our bodies, to pleasure our bodies as well. Thinking of all the ways that literally it's so binary for men versus women to have, you know, just an openness and a bravery, to a certain extent, no matter what, but how it's socialized and been taught to us that like our bodies are the ones that need to be repressed, that need to be hidden, that need to be made feel less than. So we just really want to talk about that and get into that, man, innit?
Yeah. We sure do want to talk about it. So where do you want to start? Shall I start? You start? We all start.
You fam. I always love vibing off you. Go on.
Okay, well, I think where I start with this topic is, I guess, from quite a personal place for me in terms of how I came to a place of body acceptance, and then how that went on to just become my mission in life to help other women get there, right? I've never really had a lot of body issues, you know, as we're supposed to do as women. We're supposed to hate ourselves, obviously. Just into, if you look at the way everything is marketed to us, it's based on the fact that we're not good enough, so we should improve ourselves constantly. And I guess, like, when I was a teenager, obviously you go through those awkward teenage years where you kind of feel a way about your body. Discounting that, once I was grown, I was like, okay, like, you know, I don't have huge boobs, I don't have a massive ass, I don't have, you know, I'm just kind of like, have an average body. Cool, I'm all right with it. Then when I moved to Canada, I was on a no exercise kind of regime. I was very attached to my couch and was very comfortable there. Thank you.
Tell it.
And that went hand in hand with depression, right? So I was not in a good place at all, mentally, emotionally, very down. When I moved back to England, I thought, you know, when I was younger and I was a dancer back then, I always felt good when I was moving, and that always kind of made me feel good. I think I should move again, right? So
yeah.
I'm going to give you the kind of very abridged version of this story because I could quite literally talk about it for days. So I start boxing. Boxing changed my life, right? Mm. And this is me going from quite literally off the couch to just a down and dirty boxing gym in Leeds with, I think, honest to God, my first class was like 35 dudes and me and one other woman, and the one other woman was the chick who owned the gym, right?
So wow.
Going into that kind of space when we're talking about safe places for women's bodies, that's hella intimidating for a woman to walk into a space where, okay, my body isn't in the best physical shape that I would like it to be in right now, and I'm in this room of men who are going to be judging that, and my physical capability is definitely not going to be where I want it to be, and I'm in a room full of men who are going to be judging that. Really intimidating. But the beautiful thing about that moment was, and the great thing about boxing is, that if you're not paying attention to what you're doing, you're going to get knocked the fuck out. So if you want to have a space, if you want to have a space where you can get fit and do your own thing and not worry about anybody watching you, go boxing, fam, because it's incredible. Listen, my first session was an hour and a half. I honest to God thought a lung had fallen out and I'd lost both my arms by the end of it, but it was incredible. Like, I came out of that and was like, I don't know what the hell just happened, but I want to do that again. It connected to something so primal in me, and especially at that particular time in my life where I was genuinely really going through some shit. And so to just on a base level be able to like bash that out on a heavy bag every week and on some pads every week was incredible. And week by week felt myself getting fitter, felt myself getting stronger. Then I started running. Terrible at running when I first started, not great at running now, but enjoy it more. But with running, especially as you get to see your progression very quickly and very literally, right, you're able to see, oh, I can run a little further this week, or oh, I did that a little faster. It's very tangible results with running. And what happened with me was I've always been an early morning runner, and I went from being the chick who, you know, is running at 5 a.m. in massive sweatpants and a big hoodie because I didn't really want anybody to see me, to having this kind of transformation through fitness where the story was changing, right? So it kind of became about, I don't care how my body looks at the end of this. I'd be on a run and be like, holy shit, my heart and lungs are doing some incredible shit right now.
Like, right.
Oh my God, that my quads are doing some amazing things to like power me up this hill right now. I just started to think of my body and in terms of how it was functioning. And that for me, I found that gave me so much power in my body. So I kind of graduated from the kind of massive sweatpants and big hoodie girl to like, actually, I'm going to wear my Lycra. And I'll run in the middle of the afternoon on down a main street, and I don't give a fuck who's looking at me. I don't care if my thighs are a little wobbly because my body is doing something incredible right now. It just made me view my body in a completely different way where I felt powerful, and not even just from a sense of like, yes, I do have a mean left hook and I will throw it. Just in a sense of like kind of reclaiming ownership of my body. I think it was really the first time in my life where I really felt like I occupy all of this. You know what I mean? Right. Like, and I'm in control of it, and I can use it to do incredible things. You know what I'm saying? Like, I found so much power in that. So for me, that's kind of always going to be where this type of debate kicks off, is like, first of all, just move more, people. Just move more. Move more, test the limits of your body. It's a great thing. Move in a way that makes sense to you. If that's dancing in your bedroom to Beyonce, do it. If that's roller skating in the park, do it. It's finding a way that works for you. But I think that having that moment has made me so much more confident in myself, to the point where getting catcalled on the street, I'm just like, oh, whatever. You know, it doesn't make me as shook up as it used to, yeah. I guess, you know, because I feel more powered, or empowered, I should say, by what I've managed to do with my body.
Yeah, you own your shit. And I think it's interesting that thinking of, we met through running.
Yeah.
Before that, like, my parents always pushed me to do sport. Always pushed me to do sport. Like, football, rugby, cricket, karate, running. Like, karate particularly, because discipline, because I was a little bit of a bad youth, and, like, someone telling me about myself and making me do all types of things. And I remember, like, one of my earliest memories of doing karate and karate competitions, my sensei didn't ramp. He was like some old school Jamaican guy who couldn't give a shit about gender, who was just like, you're here to fight, you're here to learn, you're here to be disciplined. And I remember having to go up against the boys, and like, I have two older brothers, I have two older sisters as well, but I was raised with my older brothers. And like, there's a 10-year age gap, and if people seen my brother, they're like, rah, like, you weren't getting no remote control in your house, were you, Lamar? Just because, like, it was, like, we're playing, innit? Like, that's the thing. I remember, like, fighting, my sensei putting me up against these guys, and the boys would think, like, it's just a girl. Like, literally, I remember one of the conversations, my dad always tells me the story. The boy said, like, it's just a girl, what? I can fight her. And the sensei was like, watch out for her. Like, she doesn't play. Boy, tutus, this kid is hunched over on the mats, bawling, and his dad is looking at him like, what is wrong with you? Why have you let this girl hit you? Why are you acting like this? And, like, I think from then, it's just been within me that, like, I'm actually quite strong. Like, I'm actually quite strong, and I'm powerful. Through running, though, I remember getting into running in a similar sense of, I need an outlet for like all these bad thoughts and this negativity. And the biggest transformation, it being physical, yeah, but mentally.
Oh, I could talk about that for
nature,
days.
Like, literally, and this is the thing, like, we're talking as, you know, we connected over running. It could be any sport you find your sanctity in. There's a power of movement. There's a power of, like, I love how you said, like, my heart, my lungs. When I run, when I do things, I'm like, all these things which I cannot see but are just giving me life and energy and making me move is really, 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 really powerful. And I think that into, like, my understanding now, that it was like this analogy of the car, right? The car can look shit and battered on the outside, but as long as the engine's good, doesn't matter. Now, that into knowing that has really made me combat my own prejudices when it comes to of bodies. So not even the billboard bodies that we're lamented with every day, or this ideal of femininity, but of having, part of West Indian heritage, or is, you know, you need to eat, Lamara. You need to, like, look bigger. You need to look more voluptuous. All these things that are my, that before I was in control of my body were deemed to, like, make it worthy. But knowing that there's a power in you, like your heart and your lungs, and as long as they are okay, have helped me battle my own prejudices of what an ideal body is. Very much so. I call bullshit on myself for that for a long time, for not thinking that bigger women, you know, more voluptuous women, bigger women, who people may class as obese, weren't worth anything. To be quite honest, weren't like me, because, you know, I could go and run 100 meters and they couldn't run 100 meters. And a lot of my thinking has had to change over the years to be like, nah, there's power in there. There's strength in there. And I think daily, you know, I'm proven wrong One of the inspirations I would say I follow on Instagram is someone called Jessamyn Stanley.
Mm-hmm.
She's a badass, big, beautiful, queer woman yogi. Like, what? I'm 27 years old. I have never been able to touch my toes. Listen. However, what Jessamyn can do with her leg behind her head in stirrups, in downward dog, in child's pose, in morning fun, sun, fun rising. I don't know yoga people, like I'm terrible at it. She's phenomenal. She's very open. She, like, in all the ways, visually written, of communicating her body to people, and people have found solace in that. People have found an affirming nature that, hey, I'm here. I may not look like, you know, the woman in Stylist magazine on page 25 doing yoga, but I can do all these moves and in a more badass way than you could ever. And I think, yeah, I've had to really settle and like combat my own prejudices of understanding what women's bodies can do. I know I talk about agency, but again, maybe my view of agency was very mainstream. And I think we're talking about body positivity, feeling like very comfortable in your own bodies. I've had to battle with that in another vein of being, owning my identity within my body, right? And just knowing in myself that like everything that I encompass, it's okay. Yeah, so there's layers in which it comes with, actually, in terms of what it means to be comfortable in the skin you're in, whether that's internally, outwardly, like in not conforming to different ideals of how you're meant to look, what you're meant to do, the different layers in owning your identity and your body, and ultimately like being proud of that. Yeah,
completely. This kind of makes me think of this whole contouring makeup trend, bizarrely.
Oh, talk to me. Sips water.
I just find it so bizarre. I'm not big on makeup. I own like 2 lipsticks and a mascara. I'm not great with it.
I didn't even know what mascara was until a few years ago.
Okay. So perhaps we're not the best people to be talking about this, but I've kind of watched YouTube videos of this in fascination more than anything else. This whole contouring thing, for people who don't know, is, and I'm by no means qualified whatsoever to speak on this topic, but from what I gather, it's essentially just kind of shading, lighting and shading your face with the aid of makeup in a certain way. But inevitably, this is never done subtly, right? Like,
any woman, do you know what it reminds me of? You know Red Dwarf?
Uh-huh.
You know there's a character in Red Dwarf that's just made up of, like, hexagons and shapes?
That is exactly what it is. These chicks on YouTube are, like, drawing random shapes on their face and then just, like, blending it in somehow. But
yeah,
it's never subtle, right? So it's not... They look like a completely different person at the end of it. So it's just... I don't understand. Like, I'm not one of these... You know, I'm a feminist, but I'm not a radical feminist in the sense of like, you know, no one should ever use makeup. Like, listen, your choice is your choice. You know, people can use makeup, but I just think it should be used to like enhance what you got. But this whole changing your entire face. But the thing is, it just, everybody ends up looking the same. And this is what bothers me. And I think this is something quite close to home for me, who has definitely struggled with her looks in my lifetime, you know, because I'm not. Listen, I think I'm fly as hell. At me. I don't give a shit.
Get it.
Holla. But it took me a long ass time to be able to say that. At school, I was definitely the funny, ugly chick. You know what I mean? Like, that's how I was perceived for sure. And it took me a long time to be able to kind of grow into A, my looks. Yes, sure. But B, being comfortable with my looks and not being the traditional, whatever the traditional kind of view of beauty is,
I'm totally with you on that. Like, honestly, I've never viewed myself as typically feminine. Shout out, my dad would be like, why are you telling everyone our business? Well, he said, I've raised you as a son I never had. So like, I've been always been pushed into like being a tomboy, being a bit more boisterous. Like, using clothes as a way to like make me more active and be more comfortable and essentially hide my body as well, let's be honest. So yeah, I've never viewed myself as like whatever typically beautiful or feminine is. Again, like not all the images that we see. So I think I've struggled for a bit with that as well. And like even now, so I started going to the gym recently and just being like, oh, why is that not changing? Or I wish I could get rid of that and I wish I could get rid of this. And like I said, I called bullshit on myself earlier for just knowing that non-traditional air quote bodies like are powerful too, but then also learning to love and appreciate the body you're in. And there's not enough of that. There's not enough of heroing, I think, the girl who doesn't typically look girly, or the girl that doesn't wear pink, or, you know, the girl who's playing football with the boys, or the girl who doesn't wear makeup. All of these things, you know.
And do you know what's funny to me?
This image of ladylike, which I just that's a whole, like, yeah, it's all in this. Just really annoys me with all of these impositions of what this femininity and what this womanhood is and what our body should be like, which makes you not feel comfortable and confident with what you've got, and you should.
You know what's funny to me, and I've had this debate with people before, nothing makes people more uncomfortable than someone who is not traditionally beautiful being comfortable and confident with who they are. I've noticed that a lot, like, especially in this kind of selfie culture.
Yeah.
If I take a selfie of me, I will inevitably lose followers on my Instagram when I post a picture of my face, because it's not...
Really?
Yeah, bruv. It's not like my face, as fucking fly as it is, let's be real.
Hell
no. But I don't look like a Kardashian. So how dare I be okay with who I am and post that up?
With your fake tiny lips.
You know what I mean? Like, I don't look like that. I don't look like a traditional kind of beauty, but I am very cool with who I am. And I like, right. Listen, it's taken me a long yourself. Time. It's taken me a long time to love this face. I'm fucking proud of it. So I don't care. Like, I'm fine with showing off who I am and being comfortable and confident. And it's not about whether or not you find me beautiful. Do you know what I'm saying? It's not actually about that. I'm allowed to just appreciate myself and take a picture if I so choose. It's really funny. This selfie culture has really, I think, kind of driven this whole contouring trend. It's driven, I mean, I know I joked about Kylie Jenner a few weeks back with her kind of making money off these lipsticks when her lips are not even her own.
Real.
But in all sincerity, I kind of feel sorry for Kylie Jenner a little bit, because there was a girl who would have grown into her looks pre-plastic surgery. She was kind of a plain Jane, but she was also freaking 14, 15. You know what I'm saying? Like, she was a young chick. When I was 14, 15, I didn't look how I look now. You know what I mean? You grow into your looks and you make the best of what you have. But obviously, when you have privilege behind you, you can just get plastic surgery if you feel like it. But it makes me sad that that's the route that she felt she had to go down. And now she looks like a carbon copy of the rest of her sisters. Like, it's just sad to me. And there's legions of girls who, through the power of, since they don't have access to plastic surgery, contouring is the way for them. So let me just make my face look like someone who's not me at all, but it's more in line with this traditional sense of beauty that we have right now. You know, this ideal. Let me just line myself up with that, rather than being, you know, but actually I am going to toot my own horn for a little bit, because it was fucking hard to do it, to be able to stand in my own identity and be like, listen, I'm pale as fuck. I'm a freckly Irish chick. I've got a big nose. I had crooked teeth. I'm like, you know, I'm not a traditional beauty in that sense, but I embraced it and was like, listen, I fucking love who I am. So deal with it. Do you know what I'm saying? It's hard to be that person. And it saddens me that someone like Kylie Jenner has had to go through that so publicly, and not even go through it, but right at the beginning of it be like, fuck it, I'm just going to change everything about the way I look. That's so sad to me. That's so sad.
There's two things here. It's like, it's really interesting you raised selfies. There's a great article, a great phenomenal like article on Medium by, I believe, Rachel Syme or Syme. I've got it on my screen right now. It's called Selfie, The Revolutionary Potential of Your Own Face in 7 Chapters. there's something really, it's interesting you said, you know, you lose followers when you pose your face because it's not conforming to this aesthetic. Like, and basically, like, through the seven chapters, but one of the most things I remember is she's saying how the selfie is a revolutionary act. Like, what it means to promote your face, your body, say you're feeling yourself in that moment, you know, make that, like, a full rectangle of you. Put that on whatever social media account. Like, this is me. This is me. Like, unfiltered. I think it's a great long read, people. Like, we'll tweet it. You should really get into it. But there's something very, very empowering in that.
This is what gets me about people who say that, you know, selfie culture is a symbol of our narcissism and blah, blah, blah. Yeah, to an extent, yeah. But what I think is so powerful and so great about it, in a sense, is we are now able to claim our beauty, our way for ourselves, right? So we can dictate that now. We've had enough of the billboards telling us how we should look. We've had enough of magazines and mainstream media saying, listen, unless you're thin, white and blonde, you don't count. Actually, fuck you, because I'm going to take a picture of myself right now, post it everywhere and feel fly as fuck. I don't care if people like it or not. It's me claiming my beauty for myself and being like, I matter, actually. You know what I mean? I think it's really powerful.
And then it reminded me, co-sign, bruv. Like, and it also reminded me of, so, How to Get Away with Murder, starring the fantastic Viola Davis.
Oh, just
she plays
for her.
A lawyer. Click, click, right? Oh, let's talk about that non-existent glass ceiling, people.
J'adore her. J'adore her so hard.
So there's a great scene. She plays a lawyer called Annalise Keating. She's badass. She runs shit. She tells everyone about their self.
I know the scene you're going to talk about, and I love it.
You know, fam, you know. Like, she's sitting in front of a mirror, and bit by bit, she just starts peeling away her makeup, you know, revealing her natural, beautiful ebony skin tone. And then she takes off her wig and revealing, like, her beautiful, natural, short afro tresses. And that, for me, was like, wow. You know, I don't wear makeup. I don't. But I do struggle with... Struggle's, like, probably a really harsh word. Fuck it. Struggle with my hair in very traditional, non-conformist, microaggression workplaces that want to make a big deal about your hair. Mm. That kind of see the natural strands that grow out of my hair as really interesting and like a scientific experiment and like I belong in a zoo and feel the need to touch it and comment on it. And when I get my hair done, all I really want to do is just walk around and no one say shit.
Yes.
Except that looks nice.
Right.
Yeah, end the conversation.
End of
there.
Conversation.
But just done. But in that moment, like watching her, knowing we always battle like to be comfortable with our bodies and our looks. And I think particularly for women of colour, our hair, if it's not straight, if it's not, you know, shoulder or ankle length and it's not got that shine on it. Like, my hair grows up. My hair doesn't grow down. It may grow a bit to the side. It grows in coils. Like, it's thick. The texture is very, very different to a European standard of hair or, like, what people deem typically beautiful, air quotes all around that. So for me to see that image and, like, when I get my hair done, I'm really making a deal, like, for it to be as natural as possible now and to just maintain that and have pride in that. And, like, I got a really great hairdresser. I know I'm digressing, but I got a really great hairdresser who's like, it's not about hair length, Lamar. It's about hair wealth. Like, it's about,
wealth. Damn. Okay, for her.
It's about your hair not breaking, not being dry, it being stronger. Like, we're going to do all the things to get to that. And to bring it back to the bodies, like, it's not about being, like, for me, it's not about being a size 14 or a size 12, like, or, you know, fitting into this and onto that, or, like, having this true feminine. It's about the wealth, I think, every time I work out of my heart. Like, I stopped running for a long, long time. And the thing... when you run, like, and if you run as much as I was running, like, the weight just goes. That was never my goal. But when I stopped running, my heart, like, got really bad. I was breathless. I remember moving here, walking up subway stairs and getting to the top and being like, this hurts. Why does this hurt? And then starting boxing, like, yourself, doing circuit training, getting in a workout where I can, and just feeling like, oi, I'm on this, you know? Like, feeling myself literally, shout out Beyonce and Nicki for one of the greatest motivation songs ever. You start feeling yourself, and I think it's that feeling yourself in the skin you're in we need to promote more of. There's a lot of, like, what physical, mental, the ties between physical and mental health and what that can do with for you personally and how it can make you feel comfortable in yourself, as well as having affirmations around you. We talked about not so typical feminism, right? Let's talk about not so typical women and what they look like and finding your inspiration in them. So, like, to tie all of those points together, it's like me seeing someone like a Viola Davis rocking her natural hair, like talking to my hairdresser saying it's about wealth, knowing that my heart rate is like amazing now, and like feeling mentally better since I started working out after moving to a big city. Like, tick, 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 tick. It's all of these things. It's all of these things that we have to know our worth. And it's really interesting because some people, whether or not like you're comfortable with your own body, like, you got to learn to love your own body. And I'm going to segue into, like, as like I read Jezebel. I read another website called Autostraddle. I read a lot of things about gender and women's bodies, owing from a time I spent at university when I studied that quite intensely. And I find that dynamic really interesting. And, you know, if you listen to this podcast, I talk about agency a lot. But there's something also, and yeah, I'm going to say it, in understanding and being proud of your body and pleasuring your body and owning that as a part of yourself too. Because, like, it may be really cliche to be like, if you don't love yourself, no one else is going to love you. But love your body. Like, know your body for yourself, women.
True.
Before you ever have to go to someone else to validate that or fulfill that need in you. Like, we're grown. We can talk about this shit. Mummy, please don't listen to the show. Yeah. but yeah, like, just reading some things about, like, you know, knowing yourself intimately enough. Whether it's standing in front of a mirror naked, whether it's, like, you know, pleasuring yourself when you want to do those type of things, like, do that as well, because you have to be comfortable with all of this and all it encompasses, is that you do find the joy within it, that you do feel like you're feeling yourself physically, metaphorically, all of that. So I think that's all a part of it as well, body positivity.
I would concur with all of that.
Yeah,
it's a real process, right, to be able to get there with all of the images that we get thrown at us on a daily basis of kind of dictating to us what femininity and beauty and confidence should look like.
Yes.
for women.
Yes,
it's really quite a process to learn how to define that for yourself, which I know you touched on it last week. I think that's why we were praising that video so much last week of the Bodyform ad called Blood. You know, the way that they've shown kind of strength and femininity encapsulated as one thing, not mutually exclusive. We're going to see more of that, hopefully. More of that.
Yeah,
kind of
the fight back is real. The clap back, sorry, is real. Like, Blood advert by Bodyform, this girl can, like, you, like, badass women, like, all of that, Undo Ordinary, all of those, like, mantras of women here and now who are like, this is my body, you like it or you don't like it, but I love it.
And I think that what's good is that now kind of the mainstream and brands are seeing that through selfie culture and blogs and Instagram and all of that kind of thing, through essentially all of us as women being like, this is who we are actually, and proudly displaying ourselves. Now we're seeing the mainstream and brands kind of reflecting that a bit more, because we are kind of being loud and clear and saying, actually, here's what we want. We want to see the real us reflected, you know, like, we're tired of all those bullshit messages. But yeah, I think in short, you know, it's a process to get to the point where you accept your definition of beauty and confidence and femininity and whatever else. It's a really worthwhile process to go through. I'm going to actually just share a really quick little story that just gave me so many feels this week. It's about my mama.
Hey! Shout out the most stylish woman.
Oh my God, she's just styling.
Our parents should have a, oh my God.
Styling.
Our parents should shit on us daily. Like
every day of their damn
flawless,
lives.
Flawless. To be that elegant and old is the goals I aspire.
Listen, so my mama is incredible, as is my papa. And my mother has had crooked teeth her whole life, right? And I had kind of crooked teeth, which I've just had corrected with Invisalign, right? For like, I had spent 6 months doing Invisalign. I have uncrooked teeth now, which I'm very, very happy with. My mother had crooked teeth her whole life, right? She had kind of a lot of dental work done about 3 years ago to give her this kind of perfect smile. She sent me a picture of when she first had it done. And I was like, oh, that looks amazing. You know, you look great. But my mum was never really comfortable with it, right? And she, over the years, she's kind of said that, like, I just don't feel it looks right. I don't feel like me. It just looks weird. I don't feel like it looks natural, or it just looks weird to me. And I would always say, like, don't be silly. You look great. You look great.
Yeah.
So anyway, my mum texted me the other day and she said, I went to the dentist. I had the veneers taken off. I've had my teeth crookeded. Right?
No!
So... she went
shout out mama bad.
And she sent me a picture and she looks, I mean, she just looks fucking great every day of her life anyway, but her teeth look great, you know. And it, I totally get what she means, right? Because she, my mum's 68, so she'd gone through her whole life with these crooked teeth, and then when she was like 65 she had them corrected and she was like, I look fucking weird. So she went back to the dentist and had her teeth re-crookeded, right, so that she felt like herself. And you know, we were laughing about it on the phone the other day, but I said to my mum, like, I don't think you understand how powerful that is and how lucky I feel to have that woman as my mother. Like, listen, I've always said this about my parents. If they weren't my parents, I'd just want to be friends with them because they're just mad cool people. But
so cool.
To have that woman in my life, I was like, what a freaking incredible example of just embracing who you are. You know what I mean? Like, her whole life, she was conscious about those teeth and was always kind of made to feel like you should have that corrected. So she went and did that. And then she was like, nah, fam, doesn't feel like me. I'm going to take these off. And she took them off. And I was like, that is so, I'm going to blog about it this week. But it actually got me a bit choked up because I was like, you know, my mother, I don't think would ever describe herself as confident or, she, you know, she's never really had anything good to say about herself, which is, I think that's a generational thing as well, where they just don't sing their own praises. You know what I mean? But this, to me, I was trying to explain to her, like, it's really, this is bigger than we're making it out to be in this moment. We're laughing about it, but it's in this day and age, in this time, in this culture, it's freaking huge that you made that choice and you did that.
Yeah.
And I feel so lucky to have her as my mama, as such an incredible... what an incredible example. And it just kind of, you know, was quite poignant because for me, who's just kind of spent 6 months feeling like really hard done by having to have this Invisalign done. And in fact, I didn't even need to have it done. You know what I mean? Like my teeth weren't that bad to begin with, but you know, I was self-conscious about it. So I went and had my teeth fixed. Meanwhile, Mama Bang's over there just getting her whole damn life being like, take these shit off. I don't want it. You know,
I think there's something... you know, feel like you is what you said. And I think that's so powerful. And it's made me think also of feeling like you, non-typical beauty, but then also I'm just reminded of this woman in London, and forgive me, I forget her name, who suffered a really horrific acid attack.
Oh, and Katie she was, something. I can't remember.
Well, there's her. There's definitely her. And there's a woman who wanted to be like a makeup artist. And the confidence that comes from having a disfigurement of that severity, especially with if it's Kate, like the main proponent of that, and that really old school soldier who has like the MBE, who got 100% burned in one of the wars.
Oh yeah,
you know, I do not know these people's names. Sorry, but I'll tweet it all later. But of having a severe disfigurement like that and being very public facing, being very honest and open with the negativities of that, from what they get through other people, of how they're feeling themselves, you know, all of that, amputees even, like things where you have an impairment done to your body to render you quote unquote not pretty or make you quote unquote not able to do things. And embracing that, whether it's teeth or your skin or your leg or, you know, a scar that you have or shit, even freckles, like embracing that to feel like you, to feel powerful within yourself, to rock that, to like find love with that, to be able to do things with that is so incredible. It's a strength I do not possess, you know, to, if overcome is the right word here, to overcome that, to deal with that, and to be an advocate for other people and to literally feel like you and be proud of the skin you're in.
I think we can end it right there because that just sums it up.
Cool. Yeah. Bye. I'm joking.
Yeah. See you later. Bye. Yeah.
But this like particular conversation actually came from an email, and like I know we've been alluding to it, but I know like one of our listeners is like, yo, can you talk about body image and confidence and stuff? So like we do read the emails, people, like send in suggestions, because we can wax lyrical on them for eons and eons and provide you with audio pleasure. As we end in true fashion with us, what are your words of wisdom / words to live by, Bangs?
I blatantly don't have any this week, not gonna lie. Don't actually have any. Really,
you drop so many bars though. You drop so many bars, I'll allow you.
Oh, thanks. Appreciate it. Do you have any words of wisdom, not bars? We know you got bars for days though.
Bars, lyrics, for lyrics, calm. That's like, I might get that tattooed. Don't do that, Lamar. Don't do that.
Do that.
But I love that. Lyrics for lyrics, calm. That's, I might drop that in a meeting when everyone's squabbling. Like, lyrics for lyrics, I do have words of wisdom. I think they're very fitting with our conversation today. They come from like an old acquaintance of mine. Her name's Brandy Chantel. She is a poet, a writer, and more, not so much famously, but more powerfully, she's a mother. And she started a blog, and she says actually a lot of her honesty and her insight into marital life and being a black woman and a mother through her Instagram. And I was just rereading over her blog this week, and she had written about, you know, she's now married, but the path to marriage, and something really illuminated itself. So there's a little bit of background, but I want to read the lines to you. And she said, more so, sharing the reality of one's experience is a tool that, when used properly, gives people the benefit of your lessons without the hardships those lessons required.
Mm.
Ruminate.
Mm.
Mm-hmm. Click fingers. And I just think, in particularly with this conversation we've just had, like, very revealing. And, you know, of course, like, you know my life, girl. But there's something in the benefit of our conversations, maybe not as lessons, because I don't want us to sound like, you know, we're dictators and all of this shit, but like of just us being really honest about things from our past and our present and our family lives, that hopefully, like, just if it's nice to listen to, but like show people that not so much we're human, but hey, like, we've encountered hardships too, and there's a lesson, this is our lesson through it, right? Rather than being stush and not open and not sharing like all the nitty and gritty stuff. I always talk about this reality, but I also say as well, you know, tell the truth, shame the devil. Like, there's shit that always needs to be said. So more honest conversations that benefit other people, that show them your hardship, that maybe like they not so much avoid it, but they know what's to come, or they know through your experience of what it may be.
Mm.
So those are my words of wisdom.
I love it. Right, people, connect with us via the Twitter at NoBSGuideToLife. You can email us, NoBSGuideToLife@gmail.com. You can hit us up on the web, NoBSGuideToLife.com. So connect with us via all of those channels, because we enjoy hearing from you. You can connect with me at BangsAndABun on all of your various social media networks. And where can they find you, Lamara?
They can find me on the ephemeral stream of consciousness, which is Twitter, at Lemel_P.
Fabuloso. That's it from us for today. We will be back.
Yo, hello, US. Oh, I did it. Oh, sign off. Let's just go. Yes. Yeah. Thank you. Love you all. Speak to you soon.
We'll be back next week. See you later. Bye.
Bye.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.